Good morning. Let's open up with a word of prayer.
Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we go into your word, Father. We ask that you would open up our hearts, God, that we wouldn't be hardened to your word, God, but our hearts would be receptive and open. Holy Spirit, move in us to really hear your words, God, and to put it into action. We thank you, Lord, for this time and this place. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Okay. When he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down a pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to him, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and pick up your pallet and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home." And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Amen. Okay, lots going on in this passage. There's a lot that we can talk about. You could talk about the faith of the four men. You could talk about the scribes. You could talk about how Jesus uses the term Son of Man. A lot of things, but I wanted to focus on the paralytic himself and actually him receiving forgiveness of sin. I want you to think of a time where you really messed up in life and where you really needed to receive forgiveness. Think about how it was resolved or how you knew that you were forgiven. What was something said to you? Was something done to you where you actually sense like, "Oh, okay, I can be released," or "I can release that guilt that I have"? Was there a sign from the offending party, or what was there a sign from God that you had been forgiven? Take for an instance, in a parking ticket or a speeding ticket, I get not a lot of those, but I get them on the occasion in Hong Kong. The way you know that you've been forgiven, or you've paid your debt to a parking ticket or a speeding ticket, is you go online, you go to PPS, or you go to online banking, you key in the account number on the top right-hand corner, and you pay whatever it is, $300-something for a speeding ticket, or and then you get a receipt. Like, okay, you're paid up, and if you don't, you don't have to wonder, are the police going to catch you and run your plates or whatever it is. You know that when you pay, on time, that is, then you're all done. You no longer have to worry about that debt. In life, I wish things were as easy. Forgiveness was as easy as paying off a parking ticket. I don't know if that's a good thing, because I guess a lot of rich people would just use money to pay off debts. Oh wait, they already do that. In reality, though, for us, understanding and accepting forgiveness can be a very difficult thing, especially being in this mixture of Western and Eastern kind of worldviews, where Western, they deal with guilt. You pay off your debt, you do something to pay off the debt, and you're done. But there's also this element of shame that we experience very prevalently as being outside of or being raised in cultures that are not fully Western. Not to say that shame doesn't exist in Western cultures, but it just, I guess the impact of shame isn't as prevalent. Forgiveness not only needs to deal with our guilt, that is what we did, but also our shame, that is how we feel about what we did, or how it impacts our lives deep on a deeper, maybe emotional level. In essence, or personally, with receiving forgiveness, I feel like there needs to be this token from the offending party that I have been forgiven. Like, there has to be this show. Okay, you're forgiven. And it's not just the words of, I forgive you. Maybe that is a sign. Maybe that's something I need to work on. But I feel like there needs to be something done so that I can feel on the inside, okay, I have been absolved, not only of my guilt, but of the shame that I feel. And I need to see that in order to be truly forgiven. In essence, I kind of look at it as like it's saving face, where the offended party does something to, you know, to remove the guilt that I feel. Not that I know of this firsthand, but I read about, you know, Japanese culture where they will. Not where one party will not say something to someone else because they know it might embarrass them. Or they might not say that. That's why they say Japanese people, they kind of beat around the bush around certain issues and they don't talk about something directly because it might cause embarrassment. It might cause someone else to feel shame. And in some ways, I wish that happened to me where like, oh man, I wish, you know, someone would like in times where I'm in need of forgiveness, they would go out of their way to make me feel better, which is a big ask. Because if you've offended somebody, why is it their responsibility to make you feel better? And it's true, because like, I'm not saying that we are, you know, we offend somebody, we say sorry, and like, now you need to make me feel better. Like, we do need to take responsibility for our own actions. We can't just, you know, say like, oh, it's not my fault, or thank you for forgiving me, I can do whatever I want. Like, we do need to understand the consequences that our action has, like the impact it has on people's lives. But at times, you know, don't you just wish there was someone to let you know that it was going to be okay? That when you really messed up, that someone would just come, or the person who you offended would just hug you if you're into what's that love language? Personal touch? Physical touch. Clearly, you know which one I am not. I understand physical touch, okay? For me, actually, that's one thing I've recognized over the past few months. Like, oh, you know, that's something that I really... deep down, I have to admit that I would appreciate at times when I do mess up that someone would come and, you know, say like, hey, it's okay. And I think this is what Jesus does for the man in his own way. So for the Jews, and Israelites, you know, one of the things about the scribes, when they say, like, who can forgive sins but God alone? You know, on the top level, they're saying, like, well, nobody can forgive sins. Who is this man? But they kind of knew who Jesus was, because Jesus had been performing miracles all around Capernaum. They heard what he was doing, and like, okay, let's check him out. And they're asking this question, who can forgive sins? Like, even if you forgive sins, how would we know? How would we know that you're not just saying something? Because I could say anything, like, I have $1 million in the bank. I'm like, well, how do we know? For the Jews and the Israelites, the only way that they would know that they were forgiven of sins is actually through, basically, fire. It's the only way that they could actually go through this process of forgiveness of sins is to offer a sacrifice. According to the law, you would bring your sin offering to the tabernacle or the temple, offer it on the altar, And then the way that God shows his approval is through supernatural method, where fire comes down and consumes up the sin offering. It wasn't that you just, you know, kill the animal, put it on the altar, and you set it on fire. They would put it on the altar and just wait. Here are a few verses that we can go to. Leviticus chapter 9. You don't have to turn it, I'll just read it for us. Leviticus chapter 9, 22 to 24. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them, and he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. So you put them on the altar. He didn't set it on fire. Right? Where we tend to think like, oh, they killed the animal, they put it on the altar, set it on fire. I'm like, okay, thank you, God. But no, they put the offering on the altar and they stepped down. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Here is another one. Just do one more. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, 26 and 27. Then David built an altar to the Lord and burnt and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And he called to the Lord and he answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offering. So it's this idea where fire comes down to consume what has been offered. And so the fire serves as the sign of God's acceptance. Of God's acceptance of the burnt offerings, of you know whatever offerings, and also pronounces forgiveness of the sin offering. I have received the sin offering that you're giving to me, and I'm giving you, extending to you forgiveness. And so in this case, you know, we look at the paralytic, and when Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven," the scribes are probably thinking, "Okay, who is this man to forgive sin? You can't do that." But at the same time, if he is forgiving sin, let's just say, you know, hypothetically, how do we know that he's been forgiven? Where is the fire? Where is the sacrifice? And so, what Jesus is doing here, he's ushering in this new world order. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus preaches, "This time will fulfill, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." He's letting people know, like all throughout the book of Mark, he's letting people know, this is what the kingdom of God is going to look like. This is what this new order, this is how we are going to worship God. This is how God is going to relate to us. And so Jesus gives a sign to the man. But in reality, he's actually saying, There is no longer any sign needed to show forgiveness. So we might think of being healed as a sign of forgiveness. I'm not entirely sure, but I think there was, for the man at least, he was dealing with some sort of sin that led to him being lame. Otherwise, you know, why would Jesus say, "You know, your sins are forgiven"? He could have just said, you know, "Stand up and walk and be healed." But he addresses this person's sin, the man's sin, and he's saying, okay, there's no longer any need for a sign to be shown in order for people to see that you have been forgiven. Jesus extends to him forgiveness as well as compassion that would speak to the shame of the man, that would speak to the shame that the man was feeling. There are no, like, without this fire that comes down from heaven to consume the sacrifice, Jesus is very simple. "Son, your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. Get up and go home. You no longer need to, you know, put on a show. You know, if if that's your thing, you no longer need to feel shame, guilt, you know, constantly just hit yourself over the back, over the head, or whatever it is that the enemy tries to get us to do. That he always loves to keep us in that place of shame. We no longer need to prove that we have been forgiven. We no longer need to show, you know, the people around us, whether it's the scribes, whoever it is, like, well, how do you know that you're forgiven? Like, well, because I've gone to God. I've turned to him and I asked for his forgiveness and he has mercy. He is merciful and compassionate. Jesus tells a man to get up and walk. And really, that's how easy accepting forgiveness can be. And I think this is the truth that we need to cling on to in our lives. You know, like I said, the enemy loves to distort that truth and say, like, it's not as easy as you think. Forgiveness, you know, yeah, or maybe even this. Like, forgiveness, like, God can forgive you. God does forgive you. But there's still a little bit where God is hanging on to. And sometimes he will remind you by bringing in certain situations in your life. I'm like, no, that's not the truth at all. Once God forgives, he forgives. It's done. That's it. And we are called to get on with our life. It doesn't mean that we forget what we've done, we don't learn from it, but we don't need to be trapped by it anymore. Faith, you know, it is not just our thoughts and our feelings and what we think, but it's also in what we do. It's also in our actions, right? So getting on with our life, that's an action that we take. You know, if you continue to have issues with accepting forgiveness, you know, take action and talk to somebody about it. Whether it's a counselor or seeking inner healing or finding people to pray with you and not just, oh, can you pray for me? You know, like, be in relationship with them. Like, very practically, I found that for me, this is something that really helps, is to talk to people, not just a one-off, like, hey, let's have a conversation and, you know, let me tell you what's going on and that's it, but to be in relationship with them. And I think this really helps us through this process and understand that forgiveness is so quick and so easy. When we come before God and we offer up our hearts with humility and contriteness, you know, that is the thing that he loves. In Psalm 51, let me just turn there to read it. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And when we do that, it says later on in verse 19, then you will delight in righteous sacrifices. It's us bringing our hearts and coming before him and saying, Lord, I need your help. Father, I need your mercy. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That is the promise that God gives to us. Coming before God is a very simple thing. It can be an easy thing. And I pray that for all of us that we can live according to this truth. So as Pastor Nate comes up and lead us with worship today, let's pray. Let's pray and thank God that there no longer needs to be any sign for us that we have been forgiven. That when we ask with a broken and with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, when we approach God, then his forgiveness is given. You don't need to prove. You don't need to wait for a sign. Thank God for that today.
scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken, I've been set free. I've been set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. I can see you now. I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Take our failure, you take our weakness, you set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your life in me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you. The love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Amazing grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. I can see you now. I can see you now. I can see the love in your eyes. I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, rising up the broken to life. Oh, I can see you now. I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the kingdom of God that is here, that we no longer need to wait for a sign, that there needs not be a sign, that we can just come and come to you for forgiveness, and it is something that you freely give. We thank you, Lord. God, we pray, or I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't take it lightly, God, that we would revere what you have done for us, and that when we come before you, we will understand what our actions have done, the consequences of it, but at the same time, know that you have covered it all with your blood. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your forgiveness, Father. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those who have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries. Sick and also have yet to receive Jesus into their lives. Let's pray for healing. Let's also pray for that they will receive the forgiveness of sin and accept Jesus. Pray for those in our community that have non-cancer related infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing hand over them and for comfort and peace. Thank you.
Let's lift up those in our community looking for jobs. Let's pray for open doors and opportunities for them. To our mission prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong today. Let's pray for our government that they would rule well, rule wisely, that God would fill them with the spirit of wisdom and discernment. Let's pray for the wealth gap in our city. Let's also pray for revival amongst all the believers. Let's pray for all the churches, and let's pray for all the ministries that we support as a church: Sports Service International, Shanti, YWAM, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters. Let's also pray for the Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's pray for all the students, all our domestic helpers, and all the families in distress. Please pray for us as a staff. Pray that we would minister well, we would do well in our jobs, we would be loving, forgiving. Let's also pray for the staff in general that we work well together as a team. Let's lift up the hospitality ministry. There's only welcoming right now, but let's pray for this ministry, and that as we welcome people back to service, our welcomers would do a good job in showing warmth and compassion and just welcoming people to the house of the Lord. Lift up our worship, sound, and AV teams led by P. Nate, Conrad, and B. Kenny, respectively. Let's pray that they would do well in their jobs and the equipment would function well and that they would honor and glorify God in what they do. lift up our house churches tonight. Chai Tea, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, House to House, Kowloon, OPR, Princeton. Let's pray that they will have a good week or a good meeting after a short break, and that there'll be a great discussion and a great time of prayer and ministry to one another. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would extend to us your mercy and your grace each day, every single minute of every single day, Lord, because that is what we need. Father, I pray that we would cling on to you, to turn to you, and just to cry out to you that we need you, Lord. We need you, God, for every single aspect of our lives, God. There's nothing in our lives that we can do without you, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would give us strength, Lord. We pray that you would open our hearts to understand, to recognize the forgiveness that you give, Lord. Not just forgiveness, Lord, but how you are working in our lives, how you're transforming us, how you're purifying us from all unrighteousness. That we aren't just constantly in this cycle of sin and forgiveness, but that we can overcome, that we can triumph, that we can conquer this, Lord. We thank you, Father, that there's no condemnation, Lord, for us, God. And we pray, Lord, that we can live out in this freedom, in this truth, God, and that we will be able to demonstrate this truth, God, to other people around us, that we can be hope and light, Lord, for others, Lord, so that they may see you, God, and they may come to believe you and know you, Lord. Father, we pray that we will glorify you and honor you with our lives and everything that we do and say. We thank you. We love you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.